Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kit of Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kit of products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips it down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show, the dawn of a new era, day number 3. Just a reminder, 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Grab your lunch. Come join me noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. The Adam Carriker Show is live here at the station at 93.7 The Ticket. All right, quick shout out, because tomorrow at noon, I will be giving away a pair of tickets to the Colorado game. So tune in tomorrow at noon for that. We got a loaded show today, as always, the Adam Carriker Show, that gives you unique insights and unbridled honesty. All right, I'm about to bring on a former Colorado Buffalo, an eight-year NFL vet, a Super Bowl champion, a man that I played against when I was at Nebraska. He was at Colorado, and played with slash against in practice, because he was an offensive lineman when we were together in D.C., okay, a man who is a Colorado Buffaloes insider now to this day, Mr. Tyler Palumbus. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, boys. Good to be on with you.
Dude, I appreciate you joining me. And all right, I got to know, here in Lincoln, people are hyped. People are pumped. It's the momentum game of the season. It's not even a conference game, but it's seen as the momentum game of the season. Colorado, we're like always your guys' Super Bowl, like we're your Yankees and everything else. What's the vibe out there in Colorado?
Here we go. Okay.
What's the vibe out in Boulder, man?
Well, man, you know, look, there's always something, right?
Yep.
What's the vibe? There is always a storyline going on out of Boulder right now. And, you know, I think for the most part, it's a great thing that we've gotten to the season here, because you can kind of let all the off-season noise just die down a little bit and make it all about ball now, right? And, you know, it's been fascinating for me to watch, you know, just the conversation in the press between these two head coaches this year versus last year. Matt Rhule was always, I didn't think he did anything disrespectful last year, if I'm being honest. But Deion took it that way. But this year it's like a battle of out nicing one another in the press conferences. The game against North Dakota State obviously left plenty to be desired, but I was working that game on the sideline, and I'll tell you this, man, for the most part, I walked away pretty dang encouraged. You know, the offense is so freaking electric. It is special, Adam. It's the real deal. They can't run the ball to save their life, but at some point, you just accept who you are. It's an air raid football team with probably the most electric wide receiver group in America and one of the best quarterbacks in America. So, you know, defense is struggling, but, you just got to hope to win a lot of shootouts this year.
So I spoke with another former Buff this morning on my show, The Carriker Chronicles, Mr. Matt McChesney. And we were going back and forth, having some good fun. And he used the words elite talent on defense for Colorado. Now, with all due respect, elite, I think of like Texas and Georgia and what Nebraska is striving to be, or a top 10, top 5 defense. They were very good last year. They're trying to be elite this year. Do you feel like Colorado really has elite talent on defense? Is that how you feel about the Buffs defense?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I would disagree with that on that one, respectfully. I never want to pick off Matt McChesney, believe me.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got Travis Hunter, so I guess that counts as elite. You know, Travis Hunter is the most unique prospect to come out of college football, maybe ever, and I mean that sincerely. You know, we've had guys like Champ Bailey and guys previously that have gone both ways, not like Travis Hunter. So he's elite. Shiloh Sanders is a rock solid free safety. Not sure I would describe him as elite. I do think you've got elite talent on the offensive side of the ball. You know, the defense for me, just being there on the sideline, and I'll give Matt credit. In one essence, he is much closer to the program than I am. You know, I cover the Broncos professionally and more or less watch the bus as a fan. So in some aspects, he is more dialed in. But I look at the defense as much improved in terms of Madden ratings. You know, like if you were going to go out there and eyeball scout, you see a bunch of guys that look the part, you know, whereas previously it looked like a JV squad. They look bigger. They look stronger. They look faster. But based off what I saw in that first game, I think it's a bit of a stretch to call that elite talent.
So the second half, you know, with all due respect, you know, that's necessary. I felt like Colorado struggled in the first half to stop North Dakota State's offense, but they did make some adjustments at halftime and they did a little bit better. Okay. And so I think they have a hard time stopping the run. That's one of the things Nebraska is going to want to do right out the gate. When you look at the Nebraska-Colorado matchup this weekend, talking about the X's and O's and the actual game on the field, we've talked a little bit about the hoopla and Deion and everything else in the first games of the season for each team. Okay, well, at least Colorado and North Dakota State. When you look at the game this Saturday, what do you think are the biggest keys to Colorado winning and to Nebraska winning the game? And who do you have winning the game?
Well, I think for Colorado, you know, their offense can score in two plays anytime they want. And I really do mean that. I think they're going to put up a lot of points in every single game. And I think there's going to be very few defenses that can stop them from putting up points. However, I think there's plenty of defenses that can stop them in the crucial moments. And what I mean by that is you don't have to run the football a lot, but you got to be able to run the football when you have to. And Colorado's not there yet. So, until they are able to convert on the third and shorts and on, you know, just convert in the moments that you don't have a choice but to run the football, they're going to give up drives. And although I think they'll score points, they give up drives too easily, meaning, you know, you're going to put the opponent's offense out there far too often. And we know that Nebraska is going to try to run the football down the throats of Colorado. I watched a lot of that UTEP game. Obviously, you got a young, really exciting quarterback. I think this will be the biggest game of his life. I know that. You know, we'll see how he handles that. Obviously, you got it at home, and that helps a lot for the young guy. But defensively, the Buffs got to find a way to stop the run and keep that offense off the field. My biggest concern for Colorado is not scoring points. It's the ability to stay out there for 8 or 9 plays and keep your defense off the field.
I think that's a fair point. I'm looking at the stats from the North Dakota State game. All right. And North Dakota State had the ball for nearly a full quarter more than Colorado. 36-44. Right. Colorado had a 23-16. In fairness, you give the ball to Travis Hunter, you know, basically on a glorified hitch, and he takes it, 20, 30, 40 yards for a quick, easy touchdown. That's going to affect your time of possession. So like you said, Colorado's very explosive. They have the ability to make the big plays. I wonder if the ability to consistently move the ball, if the big play is taken away when you're struggling to run the ball, how much that can affect what Colorado can do offensively. But at the same time, if they're scoring quickly, obviously that makes things a lot easier for Shedeur Sanders and those elite wide receivers. What is your score prediction for the game?
You know, Adam, I'm, again, like I said a little bit earlier, I cover the Broncos especially, and I'm a fan of the Bucs. But, you know, I don't think this game is going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be a bit of what is a lower scoring game in college football anymore, Adam? I mean, goodness gracious. I mean,
24-21? Is that low scoring?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I probably got Nebraska winning this game, which pains me. And it sucks. I think CU is closer than they've ever been. But until I see that defense step up to the plate, Man, I got concerns. I do. And until I see that bus offense be able to run the ball when they have to, I don't need them to run for 150 yards every game. I just need you to run the ball when you got to. Until that happens, I got my concerns about this team. That being said, they're so freaking explosive. I'm not going to be shocked if they win the game. So I probably got to see you lose in a low scoring game. They keep it within 7 to 10 points. And, at the end of the day, Nebraska's run offense probably just, probably controls the clock a little bit too much for the Buffs.
Jake, I always told you the guests I bring on are highly intelligent. Tyler's clearly a highly intelligent individual over here. Hey. Hey, I do have one more question.
That being said, Adam, I'd rather be dead than wear red.
Well, I wouldn't expect anything else, man. I would expect nothing different, and that's one of the reasons I love you and I love bringing you on each and every time Nebraska plays Colorado. The intelligence, the objectivity, the mutual dislike for each other's schools, it's all phenomenal. But I do want to ask about Travis Hunter. The guy's going to be a first-round pick.
What are your thoughts on the matchup? I'm curious.
So my thoughts on the matchup, kind of quick, are this. They're is one team that has elite athletes on offense. They have a top 10 pick at quarterback, a top 5 pick at wide receiver or DB. They've got another guy in Jimmy Horn who's one of the top 5, 3, 2, maybe the fastest guy in all of college football. And so the ability to score quick is what makes you nervous if you're a Nebraska fan. That's what I said. If you can take away the big play and make Colorado do it consistently and methodically, I question if they can do that because they can't protect Shadur. 52 sacks a year ago. Nebraska sacked him 8 times and somehow still lost the game. They don't really run the ball that well. And defensively, there's a million question marks. Yes, they look better in the second half versus North Dakota State, and they do look different, and they brought in a bunch of transfer portal guys. But I'm curious how long it's going to take them to kind of gel on defense. So I'm always going to favor the team that's going to run the ball and play defense a little bit better. And so for now, I am absolutely leaning towards Nebraska winning the game, probably 31-24, somewhere in that range, which I thought when I picked it was rather low scoring, you know, for today's college football, but, you know, 24, right. 21 or whatever, maybe more low scoring. That's still, you know, if you grew up when I grew up, 24, 21 was like average to maybe on the high end of things. But I want to ask you about Travis Hunter, because the dude could be a first round top 10 pick as a DB, as a wide receiver. Which way do you think he has the best upside or the biggest upside in the NFL, wide receiver or defensive back?
I feel like 9 out of 10 people are going to tell you defensive back. And I feel like I'm out on an island on this one, but I think it's wide receiver. I really do. Obviously it's not sustainable to do what he's doing right now in the NFL. I think that he's way too talented to not utilize him on both sides of the ball once he gets to the league, and he will be. But in my world, you know, first off, you just look at the amount of money.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
These wide receivers are making in comparison to defensive backs. That he'd be insane if you had the choice of which position to play, which one you would choose. Wide receivers are now the most coveted position in the NFL, and it's not even close outside of quarterback. So from that standpoint alone, I would choose wide receiver. But I happen to think that he's got that unique Tyreek Hill speed. He's got that unique ability to be such a freaking weapon on the offensive side of the ball that what I would do if I coached him, if I brought him to the league, I would utilize him on offense. And then, you know, I utilize them in my dime packages, maybe even in nickel, although nickel, you're out there pretty much the entirety of the game, you know. But I would utilize them sparingly on defense in the most key situations, and I would feature him on the offensive side of the ball.
So you're not on an island, because that's what I think. And I know you're not watching me right now, but literally when you said feature him on dime or nickel, like my hand went in the air. Jake saw me, because that's what I think. I think use him as a receiver. You know, I'm not above putting him back there to return kicks. It depends on how much you want to utilize him on defense. But why would you not utilize him in nickel? You make a great point, though. A lot of times you're out there in nickel. It becomes your base defense, whether you want it to or not. Or dime, at least. Like, utilize what he can do. It's insane what he can do, and it is very, very impressive. Now, I'd be remiss, because we're former teammates, okay? Yep. We played against each other. You were at Colorado. I was at Nebraska. Do you have any stories from us playing against each other in college or times we were teammates in D.C. and no holds barred with this.
You already know my one story, and what are you doing here? What are you doing? Well, first off, I beat Nebraska 3 out of my 5 years.
Whoa, where'd that come from? I didn't ask about that. Whoa. Yeah. This is supposed to be a friendly interview here.
Go and suck on that one, Adam. Okay? What?
I won 3 out of 4, man.
I also went down there to Lincoln, and I got a win. And I'll never forget that one, okay? But, yes, Adam, because you need somebody to pat you on the back, because you need somebody to tell you you're good at football. I won't forget your senior year, my last game of the season. We weren't going anywhere. Our last game, and, yeah, you gave me a good old ass-whipping, okay? You did. I went down there to Lincoln the last game of the season, and you put it on me, okay, pal? So if you need someone to pat you on the back, there you go, okay? You feel better?
Well, first of all, you're allowed to pat me on the back anytime you would like. I honestly thought I didn't remember the story you were going to share. I honestly thought you'd go with something from the Redskins locker room or something like that, or some insider embarrassing story. But hey, I'll always take a pat on the bat, a little cuppage of the rear. Just don't linger and we'll be good. How's that sound?
There you go, buddy. Happy to join you anytime. I got to run, do my own show, bud.
All right. I appreciate it, Tyler. Good luck in the future, man. All right. So that was Tyler Palumbus. All right, a man who played for the Colorado Buffaloes. He covers the Broncos. And for the living, also does a lot with the Buffaloes, Super Bowl champion with the Broncos the year they won it with Peyton Manning as well. All right, so today, Nebraska, Colorado, obviously going to be a lot of what we talk about. I do want to talk, about a couple other teams nationally. We'll get to that later on in the show. But the other big, I guess, second biggest matchup of the weekend, is probably Michigan, Texas. When I'm in my spare time, I'll glance at that every once in a while. No, I'm pretty much going to be glued at the TV watching Michigan, Texas, and then I'll do a bunch of tailgates, and then I'll come to Colorado, Nebraska. So when you look at Michigan and Texas, and again, I'm going to come back to that later in the show, but I want to talk about a couple of thoughts that Tyler put out there, because if you're a Nebraska fan coming into this and you're a Colorado fan coming into this, it's hard to tell what you can learn in a week one matchup because there's the most amount of question marks. You haven't played a game in darn near a year. Even the spring game is really just a dress-up rehearsal practice. So there's probably the least amount of questions answered in a game one, whether it's UTEP, whether it's North Dakota State, some of these other games. The most amount of improvement, as you've probably heard before, goes from game one to game two in a season. Ergo, you're probably going to learn the most about a team early on in the season, game two. There's still a lot of questions to be answered for both of these teams. But if you're a Nebraska fan, you watch the UTEP game, you watch Dylan Raiola not even play 3 full quarters, and the starters were pulled out. And so obviously 40-7, Nebraska could have put it on UTEP a lot more, and that's even with a slow start in the first quarter. You watch North Dakota State. Now, if North Dakota State and UTEP played this year, you got to keep in mind North Dakota State going into the Colorado game had won 6 of their last 7 games versus FBS teams. So in fairness, you could argue North Dakota State is probably the better team than UTEP, especially where UTEP's not supposed to be very good this year under new head coach after being not very good last year, okay? So you watch the games, and you watch Colorado basically get pushed around at the line of scrimmage. You watch North Dakota State's defensive line stuff the running game. You watch him get pressure all day on Shedeur Sanders. And you're like, oh, man, we got to feel good about our defensive line going against this O-line. You watch Colorado's offensive line, who gave up all sorts of pressures on Shedeur. They barely averaged over 2 yards per rush, had the ball for 23 minutes in the game. And as a Nebraska fan, you're looking at this, you're like, man, the trenches is where games are won and lost. And then defense wins games. Offense puts butts in the seats. We have the better defense. You feel good coming into the game. But there's two things. Well, there's really three things. If you're a Nebraska fan, they kind of are like, all right, got to wait to see it. Number one, and Tyler pointed this out, they have elite talent on the edges. They have an elite quarterback. And when you have those things, you have the ability to strike anytime, anywhere, whether the ball's on Nebraska's 40-yard line, Colorado's 40, or Colorado's 2. If you miss a tackle or you blitz 5 or 6 and you leave yourself exposed on the back end and you don't get there and you don't make the first man doesn't make the tackle, there might not be a second man because he was in the blitz and he didn't get there. Now the ball's gone and you got the ball in elite guy's hands. So that's one concern. Another concern is winning. Like, these are the games Nebraska has not won in recent memory. These are the games where we have come up close. Now, again, what was it? 6 one-score games last year that Colorado lost? So these are two teams that were very, very close a season ago, and they both struggled to win the close games. Who's going to be the team to get over the hump? The concern number two for me is actually getting over the hump. Of the last three times we played Colorado, we absolutely should have won two. What was it, a 4th-and-20 in 2018, Scott Frost's first game? Ball goes incomplete, personal foul. Drive continues, Colorado scores, they win. The next season, what was the score? 24-7 going into the fourth quarter? Is that correct, Jake? I know we had a big lead. Big lead, we don't end up with the dub. Last year, and I talked about this Monday with Vershawn, it was 0-0 with 7 minutes to go in the first half, and then we turned the ball over three times. Blackshirts actually held inside our own 40, held Colorado to 2 field goals and a touchdown. What more do you want out of the Blackshirts in that particular situation? That's 7 minutes. It was 13-0, then Colorado pulled away. You could argue Nebraska had a real chance to win all three of those games. Just don't turn the ball over. Just don't snap the ball into the wide receivers going in motion. Just execute simple little handoffs. And we're right in that game last year. The first two games, we should have won. So the first concern, containing legit elite athletes on the edge. The second concern is actually being the team to get over the hump and not of winning a close game and not letting Colorado do it. Okay. And the last one's going to be obvious. It's turnovers. Okay. And we look good in the first game, but being able to take care of the ball, effectively move the chains. If I'm a Nebraska fan, here's what I feel good about. I feel good about we are better in the trenches. Now, how improved is Colorado's offensive line? They all believe Colorado's offensive line is improved. You go on the internet, everyone still thinks they absolutely suck. But that might be true. It might not be true. It's one game. It's hard to tell. North Dakota State's a hard team to gauge. They won 6 of their last 7 games versus FBS opponents before Colorado. Okay, do I believe we have the advantage in the trenches on the offense and the defensive side of the ball? Absolutely. I don't know how big the gap is, though, because I don't know what we learned in either one of the in either one of Nebraska or Colorado's first two games. Easy for me to say. So you feel good you got the advantage in the trenches. I've always said offense puts butts in the seats. Defense wins games. The trenches wins championships. So you go to the defense. Who has the advantage on defense? It's absolutely Nebraska. Now, Colorado, I don't know if people remember, they were actually behind 20-17 at halftime to North Dakota State. And then they only gave up 6 points in the second half. They made adjustments. So does Colorado have better athletes? Absolutely. Who has the coaching advantage when it comes to the defensive side of the ball between Nebraska and Colorado's coaching staff? It's Nebraska, and it's not close because we got Tony White. So for me, you got to feel good that we have the advantage on defense. The last thing you got to feel good about is we're going to be able to run the ball exponentially better than them. So to me, the team that runs the ball, plays better defense, 9 times out of 10 is going to be the team that's going to win the game unless the other team just has out of this world type of playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. Crap, that's what Colorado's got, and that's what makes this game interesting. We should win the trenches. We have the better defense. We should run the ball better. It's in Lincoln. It's in Memorial Stadium. We have the home field advantage. By the way, Tyler got upset when I asked about that memory. I genuinely thought he was going to pick like an embarrassing memory from our days in D.C. together. But apparently, I think he was a junior. I was a senior. Yeah, I had a lot of fun that day. And apparently, he has some scarred type memories because he got a little burly. When I didn't even ask him to bring that up, it just share a memory. But that's my guy right there. He's a good dude. So if I'm a Nebraska fan, you have to know that there's a reason we're a 7.5-point favorite in this game. And those reasons are legit. Like I didn't use the word excitement before this season. I used the words legit optimism. It's just that little nugget. Got to beat Colorado and got to make them play football and get first down after first down and not allow them to get random big plays down the field because of their elite athletes. That's the only thing that really, I'm looking at this and I'm like, this could be interesting. And we've got some question marks in our secondary, so to speak. And I am curious to see specifically how Tommy Hill does versus Travis Hunter, okay? Versus these Colorado wide receivers, in particular, Jimmy Horn and his speed. So for me, if you're a Nebraska fan, you're excited. You have legit reason for legit optimism and why you should feel good. But it's just that little bugaboo in the back of our head. Until we actually get the W on Saturday, which I do believe we will, but until we actually get it, it just makes you not just excited, but a little bit antsy. And that's what makes college football so much fun. We all know what's going to happen, right? We all know who the four best teams are, the two best teams are, the 10 best teams are, the 12 teams in the college football playoff. And then you kick the ball off, all hell breaks loose, and you look up and Florida State's absolutely awful. They're 0-2. And Boston College took pity on them and took a knee at the end of the game, or that score could have been 35-13. Oh, I love college football. I love Husker sports. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.